the gift of witchcraft.
I was able to see, hear, and communicate with spirits.
A very personal relationship between a person and spirit.
Carnal lust and fun things like that.
Working with different energies and spirits and communicating.
Creating magic.
Powerful ritual and powerful spells.
She's actually sticking me in the cauldron.
The role of the witch is to make change.
Bless it be, y'all. Bless it be. People ask me, like, okay, I'm a witch and I don't know what to do.
20 years ago, three young friends realized they were witches. They scattered to different parts of the world, following magic and spirit. Now, they're back in their hometown to share what they've learned.
Welcome to That Witch Life Podcast, your home for living as a witch in today's world.
This is your host, Kanani. Thank you for joining again on our podcast, That Witch Life, a podcast on living as a witch in today's world. I am joined by my two beautiful co-hosts, Hillary and Courtney, and today we are discussing, So You Are a Witch, Now What? And so we kind of decided that we were going to talk about today what our experiences were like once we finally decided to kind of own the name and realize what we did about ourselves, which was that things were more than coincidence, and this was actually how we wanted to practice, and this was our chosen path and what we wanted to do with that. It's a very big question. For me, I think that I chose the path a lot sooner than I actually adopted the name, per se. I started working with spirits more out of necessity because they existed in my home, whether or not I wanted to believe in them. And so I actually did start taking classes on magic and how to work with magic and how to work with spirits. And really, I think my intro had a lot to do with to no longer explain to myself why I wasn't hearing what I was hearing and why things weren't just coincidence, and to stop pushing things to the side. And while I feel there's a certain level of healthy skepticism, I think that you also at some point do have to just open up and realize that messages are being given to you and that there are things that you're hearing that are not just by chance, and you need to accept those messages for what they are. I did start reading a lot and trying to learn about different things. I started being really focused on reading about energy. I started getting more involved in working with the tarot, things like that.
This is Courtney just jumping in. Back in the day, when none of us had any money, we still managed to find money to throw at the Crystal Heart bookstore in our hometown for books on aromatherapy and dream interpretation. In fact, I think we got in trouble a couple of times. We were teenagers. We just walked in and started sitting at the cafe reading through books, and the owner was like, "Hi, are you doing research?" And like, "Oh, you have to pay for these books."
Yeah, exactly. We can't just hang out here.
No.
Yeah, I did a lot of reading, but I think also for me, because part of me was not necessarily ready to adopt the name, one of the things that I kind of liked that really interested me was I started learning about all kinds of different kinds of energy. Mm-hmm. So I started reading a lot of things that were very Buddhist in nature, things that were very Eastern philosophy. I got very into feng shui. As Courtney mentioned, I got very into aromatherapy. So I really just kind of branched out into all things that involved spirit and energy, which I think was actually kind of cool. I was not really just delineated down this one path of learning about Wicca and the gods and goddesses and things like that. I really just kind of, for me, it was like a free-for-all for anything I could learn about Reiki and auras and chakras and yoga and meditation, and I mean, you name it.
You were doing
it.
Yoga?
Oh, I never actually did it. It just seemed like a really good idea.
So you don't do kale and you don't do yoga. So
I don't
basically
do kale.
You don't exist as a white woman in the 21st century.
Do wear yoga pants.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, just never for yoga.
You know, You are such a traitor to being a Portlander.
It's true.
I don't know what... Listeners, we had this big argument at the grocery store before we got here about whether or not it was okay for me to eat kale. Because apparently it offends Kanani.
It's very offensive.
When I eat healthy food. Now, Hillary and I are both very good girls and we like to eat our vegetables.
I love kale.
Yeah, no. So Hillary is totally into vegetables. She came to my house and we had this really delicious dinner that was made of like local squash and local fish. And it was like, yay, we're eating with 50 miles of us. And Kanani heard about this. And
it wants to be broccoli. It wants to be lettuce. It's neither. It's just not okay. It just...
Well, why do you care? Right, anyway, this comes this whole discussion about why does she care what I eat? But anyway, I guess it has nothing to do with witchcraft, but it tells you a lot about your main co-host today.
I did, in fact, text Hillary as Courtney and I were picking up all of our lunches, as we do before each podcast, to apologize to Hillary for the offensiveness.
Yeah, and I was like, does it smell bad? And then you're like, I have Kung Pao tofu and kale salad. I was like, my two favorite things.
Yes, I said, guarantee you,
it's not okay.
Hillary's going to be jealous, but Hillary doesn't feel good today, so we're getting her chicken soup because we're nice... For most of
us. I'm nice. I bought the chicken soup. I don't know what you're talking about.
I was still jealous, though.
I know you were jealous. And you know what? Next time, we're both going to get Kung Pao, tofu, and kale. And we're just going to eat it in front of Kanani and not let her just talk.
Not okay.
Anyway, so now we know there's two things about Kanani. She's really, really not into yoga, and she's really, really not into kale, yet somehow she's still alive.
But I wear the yoga pants proudly.
Yeah.
I just want
listeners. You
yoga.
Do not have to eat kale and do yoga
to be a witch.
Make that
clearly, clear.
Kanani is an illustration. Proof. Okay, she's a wonderful witch and she's a terrible kale eater. It's just strange that it offends her that other people do it. Anyway, whatever.
I am
next topic.
I am very into the basic food groups, which consist of coffee, chocolate, ice cream, and pizza.
You forgot burritos. You're really into those. Yeah.
Tacos. All things Mexican food. I'm so down.
Oh, yeah.
It's my favorite. If I could live in a taco truck, seriously, I would make that happen.
There are people that live in taco trucks and they do just fine.
This is what I'm saying. This would be my life choice. I don't know how my husband would feel about it, but I would be absolutely down to live in a taco food cart. Hence why I live in Portland, because of all the food carts. I mean, come on.
Yeah. But you don't do yoga. That's whatever. That's fine. Yeah. I'm doing yoga tonight.
Mm. I'm also not into beards, which is a very Portland... hipster dude thing, the beards.
You know,
they
I'm
love
into
the
a
beards.
Beard to an extent, but sometimes when the beard like passes the nipples, I start to get a little nervous. What if it falls in my soup? And then people have to work at the deli where they have to wear those. It almost looks like surgical masks covering their beards. It just
at some stores they like cover their whole face. Like it's like
those are
it goes like this over to a hat. It's like a face net.
Yeah,
I feel bad for that.
It's not good.
What were we talking about?
I don't remember.
You're the host.
How offensive your food is. I'm pretty sure that's what we were talking about. How offensive your food is. I have to apologize to poor Hillary to let her know that it's about to come into her house.
And she was fine with that. She actually wanted my lunch.
She was confused.
But she's a sick
She's
lady.
Not feeling well.
Oh my
she was
God,
confused.
Children.
She was confused. She wasn't feeling well.
Ugh.
No. I think you'd be hard pressed to find stuff that don't involve vegetables that I have not studied. Vegetables really are of no interest to me.
But you're saying everything else that is non-vegetable related.
I'm fascinated by.
Fascinated by. Okay.
Anything non-vegetable related.
So vegetables are the only things in this world that do not contain magic in your mind.
I didn't say they don't contain magic. I just said they don't go in my body. I can look at them and appreciate them and think that they're lovely as vegetation.
Your poor body.
However, I
yeah,
just.
Right? Like,
it's true.
She's still alive.
So true. I know.
Get on the smoothie train. You
it's the
it that way.
It's the coffee.
That's true.
It's the coffee that
coffee
keeps
me
going.
So anyway, we're talking about magic and witchcraft. I think.
I think at some point we were. I'm not sure.
But you were just saying. You were saying that back. You know that you spent a lot of time studying. Now you were talking about classes you took. I don't remember you taking classes.
I did. I took classes at the nearby Woo store. The woman who owned it taught a lot of classes. She did like a Wicca 101. She did different, classes. I think I took a class on, more like it was like a kind of quantum physics type class that I was taught by a gentleman nearby, at her store. So I really just kind of, at the point that I realized that things were out there, I just wanted to know everything I could possibly know about anything that interested me. And anytime I heard of something that interested me, I just went for it. And Which in some ways seems kind of, could seem in theory kind of like reckless, or, you know, you might start learning about things that maybe you shouldn't be learning about or something. But I will tell you a story of something that was really, really funny. I worked at the time, it was when I lived up near Seattle, I worked near the near Bothell. And I was so freaking excited because I found out that there was another Wu store that
was
within...
You mean like a metaphysical pagan store?
Metaphysical pagan witch store. And I was so excited, and so, because it was near my work, and so I could go on my lunch break. And so I found the address, and I printed out the MapQuest directions, because we didn't have Google GPS then, and was so excited. I left my lunch break, went to the store, just in my head, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go here all the time, I have a new place, this is so cool. And as I'm walking in, when I first walked in, the woman who worked there, I don't know if she was the owner, but she was the one that was the only one working, was speaking to this other woman. And whenever she was in earshot, my ears plugged up like I had been on an airplane.
So there was like a
wall
of deafness.
And at first I was just like, okay, that's weird, right? So because she came over, my ears start plugging in. So I'm like making weird faces. I'm trying to pop my ears. Like, that's the weirdest thing. And then I'd walk away and I could hear that she was talking, but she was far enough away I couldn't hear what she was saying. And I was just looking at stuff. Oh, this is pretty. Oh, I like this. Anytime she came with an earshot of me being able to start to hear what she was saying, my ears would plug. And that was one of those things where it's like, it happened multiple times because I'm just not paying attention. And I'm just like, this is so weird. This is so strange. To where eventually it was just like, hit me over the head. And it was just like, maybe she's saying something that you don't need to, you know, my thought wasn't that I shouldn't hear what she was saying as much as she was full of crap.
Yeah, the spirits were trying to
And the spirits were trying to tell me this is not someone you listen to.
This is not someone you listen to.
And so eventually after, you know, the third or fourth time of this happening, I just kind of was like, okay, I get the hint. And I literally walked out of the store and then I never went back because it was one of those things where, for, you know, they're trying to tell me something. They're trying to tell me something. And here I am just going, oh, this is weird. Oh, this is strange. This
You're lucky you didn't get a massive ear infection.
I know. And then, but eventually I was just like, I think this means something. I think I shouldn't be in this store. And for whatever reason, they don't want me listening to what she has to say. So I'm going to take off.
So I'm going to take off. Yeah.
And so I did. And so I just, over time, as I started learning about things, I started learning signs and stopped thinking everything was a coincidence and everything didn't necessarily mean something. And when things were off, I realized there was a reason things were off. If as I felt like I needed to call Courtney just for absolutely no reason, I called Courtney because almost always I would call her and she would be needing to talk to me in that moment.
That was a time I was just moved to New York City and everything was really rocky for me. And so having
there were so many times that I would call and you're just like, oh my God, I was just going to call you. I mean, it was just almost always, I was just going to call you. Like, so I learned those little things. Like when you suddenly have this urge to do something, there's reason. Don't just push it away and say, oh, I'm busy. Oh, yeah. I don't have time to make a call right now. It's like, I think this person needs to talk to me. So I started kind of learning to stop and listen. But I really kind of enjoyed my free-for-all of everything I could get my hands on. Anything I could learn about. Anything I could possibly want to know.
What were some of your favorite... Because I know a lot of people ask me what are some of your favorite books from your early days? Because people say, what should I read? I want to know more. I had a couple of people at this event I was at just over a week ago say, I need an intro book. Just give me the basics. Do you remember what some of your first ones were?
Mine, I was not bright, and mine were not intro books. Mine were like, you're reading it, and your brain is twisting around in your head as you're reading it, and your eyes are starting to go crossed, and you're like, what? Like, concepts that, like, now I can grasp, because I have some basis, but I dove way into the deep end when it comes to trying to read books and stuff. But one of the first books that I really did love was Drawing Down the Moon.
Yes,
with Margot Adler.
It's such a good book.
I really, really loved that book.
Yeah.
But I tried to read all kinds of other books that were just, I don't know. What's kind of funny to me is I tried to read about things that I didn't innately get. So things like auras and chakras, yeah, and Reiki and aromatherapy and anything regarding spirituality, spirits, witchcraft, things like that, I almost didn't even read because I just felt like I got, you know what I mean? Like it just made sense to me. Made sense to me how to connect to spirits.
So it was more for you. You were studying more about the mechanics of
energy work.
Yeah,
I like the mechanics of energy work because I felt like I wanted to learn that. Whereas it's like, I was dealing with talking to spirits on the daily. I don't need to read a book on how to open myself up to spirit. You know, so for me, I didn't kind of read as much into that area as much as I was reading into, you know, feng shui your home and aromatherapy.
Oh, I remember you were yelling at me because I told you I just stuffed all my stuff in a drawer and was never like, that's very bad feng shui.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. I was so into that for so long. Even now, it has a basis in how I do room design and stuff like that. But for a long time, I mean, it was like by the book, like feng shui. This has to be in this corner. No, this has to
be
this
like
color.
This, yeah.
It has to be, you know, it has to represent the earth. And I got so into that. But yeah, for me, it was just kind of, it was very much a free for all of learning about all the things that interested me. And I really just dove into learning about energy work.
I just stole
like
a bracelet from Hillary.
That's okay.
I'm going to give it back, but I just want to wear it.
It's super pretty. We get distracted by sparkly things.
Very easily, yes.
But yeah, that was kind of, I mean, that I feel like my beginning was very, and I really had no interest in community. Like I was very,
you said community, like meeting other witches.
Meeting other people, yeah, in the past. Like even when I would meet people in my classes, I didn't necessarily like befriend them because to me it was so, this is a me thing. I really didn't have much use in bringing other people into it. And really, I think, Courtney, you were the only person that I really knew that was on a similar path. Mm-hmm. And so I could, and that was kind of my thing, was I had you. So it's not like I didn't have anyone I could talk to. I just would go to you with whatever I wanted to talk about.
And that explains everything.
Exactly. Hence all, you know,
thing.
I know. Hence all my problems.
Yeah.
And so.
I know.
It really wasn't until I had children and that I decided I wanted to be a part of community and no community. Because I knew community was out there. I mean, because anytime I'd go to a class, there's other people there. There's bookshops. There are people, yeah, at the bookshops. You know what I mean? Like, I understand that there was tons of community around me. I just never sought it out. And so for me, it wasn't until I had kids that I was just like, you know, it would be nice for them to see other people who are of like mind and be a part of the community, because for me, I felt like not being a part of a community was my choice, and I wanted them to have a choice. Like maybe they want friends and community, maybe they,
yeah,
don't, but if I don't expose them to it, then they don't really
they
have a
know
choice.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was just kind of that give them the option type of situation, which I'm thoroughly glad has happened because I've met some absolutely remarkable people. But yeah, for me, it was just kind of a free for all of trying to learn everything I could possibly learn. And yeah, I think, I mean, if I were to, you know, recommend reading to anyone, I would definitely say Drawing Down the Moon. It was just, it was a great read, and I felt,
yeah,
like it really,
I think it's, that book is so helpful because it gives people really broad, Hillary, have you read that book?
I have
you
read have, it.
Yeah.
It's really awesome. I think that it's, like, very digestible. It's,
yes,
very, like, easy to understand.
Yes.
It's not, I have definitely read books where I was like, what?
Yeah.
Or, like, it really, I felt like it gave you a really, like, equal ground look at kind of the spectrum of,
yes,
witchcraft. So it's not, like, all focused on one thing or the other, and I thought it was very, I feel like when people ask me as well what a good book for introductory book is, that's one of the ones that I recommend, too, because I just think it's well-written, and I also just think it's, like, very approachable and easy,
mm-hmm,
to digest.
Yeah, and so it's a broad overview of American witchcraft. It's a,
yeah,
little dated now because she first, I think, came out in the 80s.
I think it was in the 80s.
That,
yeah,
sounds right.
Yeah. And she had a revised version, but Margo was an NPR reporter, so she approached it from a journalist perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Margo's passed away now, unfortunately, but she I think that's what was so helpful about that book, was just its very broad perspective.
I think what I liked about it, which probably also spoke to Hillary, was it wasn't a do this way.
Yeah.
This is the way this is done. You have to do it this way.
It was a real,
you can embrace it. Yeah, you can embrace it because it's not dictating to you how you have to do it. This is the only way. You know, it's just like you said, it's very approachable.
Yeah.
And it's very digestible, and it doesn't feel like someone's preaching to you.
For me, I was looking for religion, honestly. I wanted a faith, a spiritual path, a faith path that wasn't Christianity and Catholicism, and that affirmed what I already believed. And a lot of the books, the first book I read on Wicca was The Wicked Mysteries by Raven Grimassi. And I say this with all respect to Raven, because he is a friend of mine. I think that that book might be a little dated now for some. He might even agree with that, because there's just more information out there, but I still think it's certainly a worthwhile read. The other book that I recommend to people for its historical background, but also recommend that people don't try to emulate too much of it, is A Witch's Bible, mm-hmm. Janet Farringham. Janet Stuart Ferris, yeah. So Janet is one of my teachers now, and we're very, very close, and she would say the same thing, that don't try to emulate those rituals as the only way to do things. I meet a lot of people now that have read A Witch's Bible, think that is the way to do witchcraft, and so they work really hard to do these very complicated rituals, and they feel like they need a certain number of people, that they have to be specific genders, and Janet would tell you that that's not true anymore, that that was the way things were in the late 70s, early 80s, but certainly are not necessary now. I performed a wedding when I was in Brooklyn of a couple that they were concerned, because they wanted to do the wedding, the Wiccan wedding based, they wanted a Wiccan wedding that they wanted to do based on the Wiccan wedding as listed in A Witch's Bible. But they were concerned because they didn't want to be naked in front of their parents. And I said, it is really, really fine, and you really should wear clothing at your public venue in Brooklyn. And you are not doing anything wrong. This was a different time, coming out of the hippie era with this encouragement. Yeah, and it was in Great Britain, where it was really more repressed culture about bodies and things. So it was a rebellion. But what is great about that book is the history of the traditional Wiccan holidays. Yeah. And I'm saying Wicca because that to me was the path that I started out on. And it actually took for a while to realize that Wicca and witch aren't necessarily the same thing.
Not at all.
I feel like Wicca is a supportive religion for people who identify as witches and yet still want to have a religious practice.
Yeah, so I totally agree with that.
Yeah, but it is not the only way to do witchcraft.
No.
And I feel like anymore now, I'm less Wiccan and more just a plain old witch.
I do know a lot of people that found that Wicca was, it was a really good transition for them from a structured belief system in a religion like Catholicism or Christianity or Judaism, and they felt like they were called to this, and just having like the openness of being able to kind of choose the path was overwhelming. So sometimes I think that I know a lot of people that found that that was what kind of helped them digest the information, because it was structured in a way that was familiar to them.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny because I think that's why I completely was like, no, because I was like done with religion. I was like, fuck this. Yeah. I don't want any of this. Like,
same with me.
I'm so over it. I hate the structure. I don't like being, you know, like
labeled.
And I mean, I just had such a negative experience with religion that I just was like, I don't want any of this. So it's funny because what was really off-putting to me was like very welcoming to other people than I
that's what was attractive about it to me.
Yeah.
So for me, I read, there was a book by Laura Cabot. I think it's called The Power of the Witch or The Path of the Witch. I'm suddenly drawing a blank on the name of it. And
I feel like it's Path, but I might
Path
be.
Path of the Witch. Kanani's looking it up right now. So some more.
Google the real magic.
Google the real magic. There's a couple of when people ask me, like, okay, I'm a witch, I feel like this is my path, and I don't know what to do. And the first thing they want to do is just like Kanani did, is read everything.
Yeah.
And so some of the books that I recommend for just basic overall understanding of witchcraft and magic.
Power of the Witch?
The Power of the Witch,
Power.
That's the one.
Okay.
Yeah, and again, I think that one also might be a little dated at this time. I think it's probably a little gendered. Sometimes we read these older books and that are very much into the binary of lady and lord and masculine and feminine. And we just have to remember that that was the time.
That was the time.
Yeah. It was still, that was this last wave of feminism that's coming out of. And I think we're in a very different relationship now.
What are some books, you know, if our listeners are looking for something that's maybe more relevant to current times, are there books that you recommend?
There's The Witches, The Witches Book of Power by Devin Hunter is a new one that people really seem to like. Scott Cunningham's Wicca for Solitary Practitioner is a classic for people who are first starting.
I have that one. It's a great
one. It's a great one.
That's actually the first book I give to people who are interested I give them that one.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I've never read that one.
Yeah, and then there's, I'm drawing a blank on
for, these
names.
For someone who, so something that's much more to date, I really loved... I really love Janet Farrar and Gavin Bone's Progressive Witchcraft.
That's a good one. Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed that book. That was a really good one. I'm trying to think of...
Have you guys read... Is it Witches in America? Is that what it's called? I read a book not that long. I wish I could remember what it was called. I think it's called Witches in America.
Yeah.
And it was more of like a... Less of an introductory and more of like an over... A reporter's view into experiencing what that what groups existed in America and kind of immersing themselves in it. And I thought it wouldn't necessarily be the intro book I would recommend, but I thought it was interesting. And I thought the perspective of an outsider kind of taking a look.
Was she the one from New York? Do you remember if that was her?
I don't know. Let me pull it up and see if I can figure that out. Let's see. Let me pull it up, because I found it really interesting. A friend gave it to me, and I just thought it was a neat book. Witches in America, is that what it's called? By Alex Marr. Yeah, Witches of America. It's a memoir of Alex's immersive 5-year trip into the occult as both a journalist and someone searching for her own faith.
Okay, yeah. So
it was a pretty interesting read.
Yeah, that's helpful. I think anything by Thorne Coyle, she has 3 books out now, and that are a really non-religious approach to magic, to spirit, and the gods. Mm-hmm. And then anything by Ivo Dominguez Jr. He's got a couple of books out that are about how to... work with different spirits and different energies.
Nice.
Doing different rituals in your home. But I think one of the things I remember I met this young witch at this event I was doing up in Seattle, and she said she was looking to figure out where she fit in. And that, to me, I found jarring for her sake, because I said, you know, you don't need to find something to fit into. This is, the path of the witch is so unique. And so
you can make your own.
You can make your own. And I think that we need to celebrate that.
Yeah.
And I said, you may find a tradition. I told her this. And you may find a tradition that's a great fit for you. And that's excellent. And I said, and expect. I said, because my husband, my husband Brian, he's been part of a very very formal tradition on the East Coast.
Uh-huh.
But when you get in there, you see that every single person there has a different approach to that tradition.
Yeah.
So even within a tradition, there's
a type,
I describe it as a kaleidoscope of different witches who are like, instead of trying to figure out where you fit in, is to see it in these different paths and these traditions infusing you.
Mm-hmm.
And you may find the right path that infuses you in the way you need it to be. But if you don't find a specific tradition, then let the different traditions influence you or make your own way. We're all like... Mainstream religions have, you know, a good 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 year tradition of helping people find their paths. But we are approaching witchcraft as a formal religion is a very new thing. Spiritual path.
Or
a spiritual path is more appropriate than religion is a new thing. In the decades past, what we would consider witchcraft or magic might have been on the fringes of a religion, or it was so built into the indigenous traditions that they're not considering it witchcraft. Exactly. Just consider it.
It's a part of their practice.
It's just part of spiritual practice. Yeah. So what we're talking about now is a relatively new concept. I mean, yeah. I'm a big person. I do not believe that there was a religion of the witches that existed in Western Europe that was extinguished by the Christians and what they call, many people call, the burning times.
Right.
Yes, there were people, there were witchcraft persecutions and there was the Inquisition and that sort of thing, but a lot of the victims of that were Jewish women.
Yeah, they were just women that they wanted to persecute for something, or whatever reason.
Yeah, we forget a lot of them were Jewish.
Yeah, they're attractive women that someone's husband was attracted to, so they decide they're a witch and have them killed.
Yeah, yeah. Or they, you know,
or they practiced a religion that they didn't understand. I mean, yeah,
yeah.
Or it wasn't necessarily witch.
Yeah, or they just didn't go to church very often, so they figure, oh, she must be of the devil, and so, you know, so this sense of where we, you know, reclaiming this old discarded religion really isn't accurate. There are elements of, I think, indigenous religions and spirituality that have made a comeback.
Right.
In what we're doing now, especially, you know, indigenous European religion influences a lot of contemporary American witchcraft, but it's not like recovering an old faith. This is very much a new way of being and a new spiritual.
Well, and witchcraft was, to me, it's almost kind of the way of like shamans. But in a European sense, where these are the women who concocted the elixirs.
They were like healers.
And they were like healers. And they were the women who could see things that were going to happen. Or these were, you know, women that kind of, because maybe they predicted something that happened, lived on the outside of town. But then people would secretly go and ask and say, hey, what's going to happen?
Yeah,
or, hey, my kids are sick. And so they knew how to work tinctures.
It wasn't limited to European women either. When you look at the Salem witch trials got started.
Exactly.
Because there was a Tituba, I think it was the name of the woman.
Yes.
Who was practicing, she was practicing Caribbean religion.
Yes.
Which people saw as witchcraft.
And she was teaching, and she was teaching to the girls.
Yeah, or they were seeing her to get love spells or blessings for, you know, fertility or what have you. And they're like, oh, it's witchcraft. And she's practicing a religion that was indigenous to her people that she brought with her when she was enslaved.
Exactly.
So that's, you know, it's, so it's, but I think for now what people, I think there's also something that gets cast off a lot with young witches to say, look to your ancestors. And that can be a complicated thing, especially if you have a painful relationship with your ancestors. And doesn't necessarily have to be the ancestors that you knew in life. Like, say you had an abusive grandfather, you don't necessarily want to bring that energy back in, right? But you know, you have ancestors that were far up the line that maybe you don't even know their names that are still with you. And so, you know, my practice, I keep pretty simple. I am a very deity focused witch, and then I have gods and goddesses that are a very big part of my life. And so right now, my husband and I have a bunch of altars in our house. But in the past, I've always just had one altar that I had things that connected me to those deities. There might be pictures of the deities or something that I found or something that someone gave me that represented them. Like, one of my gods is the god Pan, you know, it's the Greek god of the pastures and of carnal lust and fun things like that. And at some point, I found a key when I was out and I was thinking of him, and there was a key there. And I felt like that was a connection for me with him. And so I keep that on my altar as just a way of me connecting. And so there's, I do have a wooden pentacle, the five-pointed star. Because to me, that pentacle, which actually isn't traditional so much with witchcraft as a ceremonial magic, which has been adopted by more contemporary witches.
Yeah.
But to me, it's such a powerful witch symbol that I wanted on the altar, so I keep it there. You know, I light a candle and I just basically show up. You know, in some of these books you're going to read these massive complicated rituals, and those can be really powerful.
They can be really powerful. I've been part of small rituals that I've designed myself that are just as simple as being, like you said, showing up, being present. I've also been part of really elaborate rituals that involved a number of people and a number of offerings and interactions. And I think that it really, they can be really powerful too. But again, I think it's not like, that's not the only, it's not like you are like, oh no, I need all these people and I'll have to do it this way. And
the elaborateness. This
way. You don't, I mean, you definitely do not.
The elaborateness is not what made it powerful.
Right.
That's correct. The key.
It was part of it.
It can be powerful, but it's not required.
And I think that you know, there's definitely a place for that type of ritual. And I think there's equally a place for, you know, lighting a candle on your altar and connecting to energy or to gods or goddesses or to, you know, I think that there are many different ways to pull in energy and ways to work with magic. And I think those big rituals are beautiful. I also think, you know, sitting at your altar and, you know, working with this a single god or goddess or a deity is equally beautiful, you know?
Yeah. I think one thing we witches don't want to forget is to keep asking our spirits to guide us in the direction.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
I myself sometimes forget that.
Yeah.
I think also one of the things that I learned as I kind of practiced and stuff, because like you said in the beginning, people are very literal with everything. Like,
yes.
I have to have three of these. It says I have to have this. Now as you get, you know, more into it and you realize the power doesn't come from the size.
Right.
Doesn't come from whether or not you're alone, not alone. It also doesn't come from whether your candle is pink and not red, or it's from the dollar store and not, you know, a magic shop. I mean, you can use the tools that are available to you, and if your energy is there and your thoughts are there and your intention is clear, it can be an incredibly powerful ritual and powerful spell. You don't have to have, you know, just the... to me, if you have other more, you know, tools that have been cleansed and tools that have been in the moonlight and all these different things that you can do to cleanse them or to bless them or to charge them, all that is great and it's certainly helpful, but to me it more is about just adding energy from the past when you did it to the intent that you're giving at the time, but it's not necessarily necessary to make it happen. Like, it adds, but it's not, it's kind of like, to me, it's like it's adding sprinkles to the cupcake, which makes it more, more delicious. This is what I'm saying. Makes it better. Makes it better.
I ate my kale today. I've earned a cupcake.
But it's not like you forgot to put in sugar, you know, where it's like, oh, well, now I don't think it's going to look at all right.
And I think, too, you can use your intuition on that or your guides on that. Like, I tend to, like, I work a lot with crystals, so if I pick up a stone and I'm like, oof, I can feel it right away if it feels off, you know?
Yeah.
Then I know, oh, wow, I really need to cleanse this. Or, you know, it depends on what you were using it for, or if you were using it in a ritual that was really heavy energy, or you were using it to clear negative energy. I think there are times that it's really important to put that practice in, but it's, again, it's like, you're going to know I think the biggest lesson I learned was not to second guess my intuition. Like,
exactly.
I very frequently was like, I feel something very strongly and I go, oh no, but I didn't hear it or feel it doing this way. I didn't do it this way. I didn't get the information this way. And I questioned whether that was real.
Right.
And I found that I've learned over the years that trusting my instinct on things, like if something doesn't feel right, it's not right. You know, it's
exactly.
not like, you know, it's certainly reasonable to trust that instinct. The more you can, and the more you can kind of be open to hear messages from your guides, from your spirit guides, from ancestors, from wherever, you know, from deities. I think that the more you can trust that instinct that you feel.
Yes.
I mean, I think that's a thing that took me a very long time to recognize the importance of, because I got caught up in the like, oh, I should be doing it this way, I won't get a message unless I'm doing it this way. And then I just realized that those are definitely pathways that can work, but that sometimes I'll be walking down the street and I'll get a message, or sometimes I'm washing the dishes and I'll get a message, and that it's okay. It doesn't have to be in one setting or be something that you're asking for. Sometimes messages come in very unusual packages.
Well, I think the key is just to let the spirits know you're listening.
Yes,
and
exactly.
just to show up and say, hey, I'm listening.
Hey, I'm here.
Aware and awake and paying attention.
Yeah.
I think today I got a message and I'm not sure what it was about, but, I saw I guess it was a crow that was, I was at a stoplight. Actually you were on the phone, Kanani, as we were driving over here, and I saw this crow fly up and perch on a very thin branch. And I watched this crow try to get its weight balanced on the branch, flap its wings a bit, and then just go, yeah, this isn't working. And so it hopped up and flew to the branch next to it. And then I watched it kind of settle around, and I realized for the first time how birds are constantly focused on how they shift their weight on a branch. And I never realized that before. I guess I always thought birds just sit on a branch, they're good. And like, no, they're consciously having to balance themselves the way we might. Well, I would not do well balancing on a balance beam. But the people that do well balance on a balance beam, they're not just up there.
There's muscles that you need to use. There was a message
in there for me. Maybe it's a sign to get back to yoga, which is probably true. But it's also, I think there's a sign about consistently being in focus on balance. Mm-hmm. It was the message for me. And there's something that the spirits needed me to stop right there at the stoplight, see what was going on with that bird, and watch it figure things out. You know, and it wasn't like the bird was angry about having it. This branch doesn't work. Hop up and float on the other one. Yeah. So, and to me, when I can even just light a candle once a day and just say, I'm here.
Yeah.
And there were times when I was in college and I was so busy. And I remember one of my, and I don't even remember this moment, but my theater teacher was using as an illustration. She said that she saw me walk through the quad looking angry. And I was probably angry at the guy I was dating at the time. And she said she saw me look up at the full moon and take a deep breath and sigh. And I don't remember doing that, but that sounds like something I would do.
Yeah.
That I just needed to fill up with moonlight.
Yeah.
And fill up a spirit and say, you've got me. I know that you've got me for whatever. It was certainly about the guy I was seeing at the time.
You know? No, but it's true. I mean, I think that like it is sometimes those moments can be so powerful because they're the ones that, I mean, I think that it can be as simple as that, you know? And I think that's, I can imagine, I definitely have done that myself where I'm like, I'm just like, oh, come on. You know, like, I'm just like, you kind of just like lay yourself down. Like, okay, look, like I'm here. What do I, like, help me, you know, I'm here to listen. I'm here to accept your guidance.
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest key. And my husband and I have disagreed on that because he comes from a very formal tradition. And so his concept of witchcraft is a lot about following formula, and it works for him. And my belief is that witchcraft is about getting back to simplicity and getting back in touch. Honestly, I personally think it comes down to worship of the moon. The moon is not the path. Yeah, because the moon is not the path that everybody follows. Most of our world is built around the sun. So the idea of following the path of the moon means you're following a path that other people are not. You know, so that's the title of my next book, The Path of the Moon.
And it's all, it was birthed right here.
Right here in this.
Right here in
this. Yeah, so I think, you know, I'm saying this to those new witches out there who are saying, what do I do next? I think just keep showing up for spirit. Spirit is going to lead you to the books you're supposed to read. They're going to lead you to the people you're supposed to learn from, mm-hmm. or lead you away, as it did for Kanani, away from people you're not supposed to learn from.
Yeah.
And also help you, teach you about you, the unique kind of witch that you are. You know, because we're all going to be very, very different.
One of the books I was going to mention that is a newer book, and it is actually by Raven Grimassi. And it was one, because it's been a long time since I've been reading books, and this is the most recent one I read, and I was so captivated by it. I bought it for my mother.
Yeah.
And it's called Grimoire of the Thorn-Blooded Witch.
I love that title.
I can't even tell you how good it is. And the reason I love it and the reason it captivated me is because, you know, you definitely went the way of Wicca and the pantheon and the gods and the goddesses and all these things. And for me, it was a much more universal energy related, spiritual, myself and the universe type of a situation, not so much with gods, goddesses, pantheons. And Grimoire of the Thorn-Blooded Witch comes back to a witch's relationship with nature,
mm-hmm.
yes. which to me, man, that is just
super powerful.
That's me. That nails it right there. And so, for people who are interested in like that kind of a path, where maybe like me, it's in like you with the moon, like it's kind of more their love of nature that's drawing them in, more so than a pantheon. I would so recommend that because
you mentioned that book a few times.
I loved it so much. I bought a copy for my mother, and she has already like done spells from it
with
herself and with my children.
Oh, that's great.
And it's wonderful because it draws back to that very core, what I think is that first core initial relationship between a witch and nature. Because like you said, the whole concept of it being a religion and a faith, that's a newer concept. It used to, in my opinion, really just be a very personal relationship between a person and spirit.
Yeah.
And part of spirit to me is nature. And so it really comes way back down to that very core personal relationship that you have between yourself and nature. And I just loved it. I absolutely loved it. And so I feel like if there are people who maybe are more turned off by the Wiccan aspect or the pantheon or the formality of kind of that stuff, you know, there are other avenues to witchcraft. It's not just, oh, well, in order to be a witch, you have to be Wiccan. To me, they're very different things. You do not have to be one to be the other.
Yeah, I think this is, you know, what we talked about last time. I think the basic qualification for being a witch is, do you cast spells?
Do you practice?
Spirits?
Do you
practice? And so there are Wiccans that really gain a lot from the Wiccan faith. They don't cast spells.
Yeah.
Remember, I think there was, I met a woman in college who called herself a witch, but she said she believed it was immoral to practice magic. And, like, honey, you're not a witch. You're a something. But you're not a witch if you don't practice magic. That's just...
And if you find... Not only don't do it, but find it immoral. Well,
then I don't know. Okay, yeah. Then you're whatever you are, but...
I don't know about you guys, too. I also find that when I'm looking for literature, I use the same thing where, like, I'll pick it up, I hold it, I maybe read a little bit about it. I try and sit with it and just kind of trust my intuition on that as well. I found some... I have had people recommend books to me before where I was like, what? what the hell is this? You know? I'm sure it was like very powerful for them. You know, and that's the other thing to remember too, is that someone might recommend something to you, go read about it. If it's not something that you are drawn to, it's probably not meant for you because I have definitely like drudged myself through books that people were like, this is the one. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do it. And I was just like, oh, I hate this. Like, yeah. I don't like this book. You know, some of it was writing style, some of it was information or the way it was presented. So, you know, I think that there are lots of different, there's lots of literature out there. Also, there's lots of websites you can search that talk about different literature and give a good synopsis or a really good rundown from practicing witches' perspectives on those particular books. Maybe we can look some up and find some to share next podcast. But yeah, I think that, you know, the internet is also a good place to look for recommendations. And, you know, maybe you find someone and say, oh, you know, I had read this, this, and this, but now I've read, you know, what was that book called? The Grimoire
of the Thorn-Blooded.
Yeah, and also check out, another thing to do is your local metaphysical stores will be helpful.
Super helpful.
Yes. And it's funny because, and also depending on where you are in the country, they may or may not actually call themselves a metaphysical store. A friend of ours who lives in Florida said she was having a hard time finding a pagan bookstore. And I Googled and I found three of them, but she was literally Googling pagan bookstore.
Yeah.
And in Florida, they're not going to call themselves
a spiritual shop.
They call it a spiritual shop. They call it a metaphysical bookstore.
Yeah.
And so then she found what she was looking for.
Yeah.
And if you go in there, the shop owners will have books and they will have recommendations
for you. Yeah.
Yeah. The other option is look up your local pagan pride. Those are happening all over the country.
Yes.
They usually happen in the fall. And there are authors that go to them. Hello, I go to Pagan Prides all the time. As well as there are vendors selling books and that kind of thing. And you can also talk. That's also a good place to meet other people. You might be able to, a lot of times, one way that many people find about becoming a witch is they join a coven. And you can, there are meetup groups for specific covens. There's also witchvox.com, WITCHVOX. And that's a place where you can go and try to find local covens. Be prepared. The coven may want to meet with you for coffee before they actually invite
you in.
Make sure
you're good, yeah.
Yeah, it's coven. I know one woman emailed me and she said she was really disappointed that she had to be interviewed before joining a coven because she felt like it should be like a homecoming thing. And it's just, covens and witches, when they practice together, it's a deeply personal.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely personal process. And so, you know, don't be offended if they want to interview you first. Because once you join a coven, you will appreciate that they take the time and care to interview people before they bring them in. And also because a lot
of... And not to mention that most of the time when you have coven meetings, they're in someone's home.
In someone's private home.
Yeah, yeah, so it's someone's private home. You're not just going to meet someone at the grocery store usually and be like, hey, you know, oh, I like that too. Come to my house.
Well, you want to make sure that it's not someone that's like trying to write an article on, you know, that might
sensationalist.
Comment.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to sensationalize it or might take information out of context or information that people
and
wouldn't
also be
want to share,
that, that they're prepared for what they're getting into. So sometimes this madness work can be really intense.
It can be really intense.
Yeah. So there's a couple of ways to do it. But I think that what I tell people is read everything you can, just like Kanani did.
Yep.
Do some Google searches, just like Hillary said, Google's a magic place. And look up metaphysical stores in your area, pagan stores in your area, New Age stores, because those places will have some information.
Yeah, I mean,
and they might even have a group attached.
Courtney and I like lived at the Crystal Heart.
We lived at the Crystal Heart bookstore
all the time. I mean, like, we'd go there, we'd read books, we'd talk to the people that owned it, we'd, you know, I got tarot readings there. Like, it's there's definitely...
Stores like that, to me, are also really good because a lot of times they'll hold classes there.
Yes.
They will hold classes.
And a lot of times, they also will post listings for different events.
Yes, yeah.
Different festivals, different rituals, different events going on that you can go to.
Facebook is a great resource.
Yeah, if you find a group that tends to produce events.
Yeah. And I would just do... Many of them may have a website or something like that. So, and try a lot of different groups. You don't have to settle on the first one. I happen to because I found the right group right away. But when I was running a coven, people would come in and, you know, check us out.
And it wouldn't be right for them.
It wouldn't be right for them. And then we'd still see them at public rituals, and it was great.
Yeah.
But and they said, go to everything, but don't make yourself choose right away. I think give yourself time.
Give yourself time.
Really important.
Yes.
Give yourself time.
And see what you like, but also don't feel like just because your friend likes it, you have to like it too.
Yeah.
Like if you go somewhere,
just
and maybe
like,
your friend is
I like
just Kay, all
and
bought
Kanani
into
doesn't
it.
Like Kay,
oh,
and it's
so
okay.
It's
yeah.
okay.
It's we're still friends.
Exactly.
For some reason.
Like if your friend has really embraced a certain group, but you go and you're just like, not my bag. That's okay.
That's okay. It's not an insult
to
that
really
group.
Is okay. No, it's not an insult to the group at all. Just for some reason, maybe your energy just doesn't vibe with them
and also
or
the
it doesn't
group,
speak to you.
The group will be thankful that you opted to move on.
Yeah.
Rather than if
drugs
they...
yourself.
Drugs,
yeah.
Yeah. If you're not right for... They're not right for you. You're probably not right for them either.
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
You're saving everybody a lot of awkwardness later on.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
For sure.
So, yeah. Definitely, you know, find what works for you and realize that it's very personal.
Yeah.
And what works for someone you know or someone else may not be what works for you and that's perfectly fine.
And that's great.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to go to our last segment, So Below As Above.
Yes.
Where we write down what was something really great that happened to us and something that we would like to let go of. Courtney, you want to start?
Yeah. So give me some paper.
Here's
thank
some paper.
You. All right. So ripping
Hillary,
off
here's
paper.
Some paper.
Okay. Putting this in Kanani's magic cauldron. So something really great. You know, I got this beautiful tattoo.
That's pretty great. I'm not going to lie.
It's beautiful. It's a raven feather. I got it to commemorate that I finished the Morrigan books, The Goddess of the Raven. Also, you know, as you guys know, I lost a pregnancy last fall, so that was something very difficult I went through. So I asked the artist to make it look like a raven feather that had a little bit of wear to it. Say I'd been through a bit of a storm, but I can still fly. So I'm really excited about my tattoo. I know my mother is not going to be excited about my tattoo, but it's okay. So that's, I, you know, I'll make this all about my tattoo. I am writing down that I am embracing my beautiful tattoo. I'm going to release my fear over my mother's reaction to it.
That's a good one, actually.
That's a good one. Yeah.
That's a good one.
And I'm putting it in the cauldron. Okay, I'm done.
Okay, so for me, you know, I've been interviewing for a bunch of positions locally, and I'm having this thing where, like, one, it's hard. I think I'm overthinking. Like, I'm like, what if I don't choose the right one? What if I, you know, like, what if I'm making the wrong decision? Like, what if I get it? And I think that, again, I think that I want to focus on being really excited that there are these people that are interested in me. You know, before I think I was like, oh my God, I can't find anything. Now I have it. And I'm like, oh crap, what am I going to do with this? So one, I'm really happy and thankful that these opportunities are presenting themselves. And also I'm going to, you know, remind myself that, you know, one, this isn't like, if I make the wrong choice, I'm stuck for the rest of my life. And two, I think that that it's okay to trust my instinct a little bit more and just kind of sit with what feels right. And a balance of, you know, accepting what I'm worth, but also what feels like a good connection for me. And not being worried what that is or where I land and the perception of what that is, you know, with those around me. So just kind of focusing on gratitude and also kind of trusting my gut.
That's a good one. Put it in the cauldron. So something good that happened to me was I would have to say I had a really good time this last year with family and kind of some family dynamic situations that have happened, which have been really, really positive. And I have, in a lot of ways, kind of fractured family fractured family relationships, because there isn't really bad energy. It's just kind of non-existent. There just really aren't relationships there. Where I'm starting to see relationships forming, which is actually kind of exciting, and starting to realize, oh, we actually have something in common, and oh, this is really neat. So I think that's been kind of exciting to see, not just for myself, but also because it also makes me feel like then my kids also in turn are building on those relationships, because then they get to know these people, and it's been really positive. So that's been something I've been very grateful and thankful for. For something that I want to let go, one of the things that's also showing me is I feel like there's some people who get too much of my attention, and that's part of the reason why some of these other people haven't gotten my attention in the past. So I'm really going to be working on not paying attention to the people who don't deserve my attention, so that I can really give attention to the people who are becoming a part of my life. And,
you know, if you wanted me to stop calling you, we could have had this conversation.
Really awkward place to bring this up to.
It was, but I'm going to have to sit in a car ride with her on the way home. And so I just figured might as well get it out now, as opposed to, you know, this way, if I have to take an Uber, I mean, I'm good. It's okay.
I think you have to take an Uber.
Connie, I'm sorry. You know, the thing is it's like, we could have had this in a nice, professional, private conversation, and you brought it up on the podcast.
I'm just gonna go by Sky. Okay, really later. Nice. Bye. I know.
We'll let the counselors.
She's actually sticking me in the cauldron.
If any of you are therapists, we might need some group counseling sessions.
Yes.
My head is not gonna fit in there, Kanani. Stop.
I was gonna say we'll start with your foot, but I know your feet are as big as mine, so neither of those are gonna fit in the cauldron. So I'll just shove your face in instead, and we'll be all right.
This was nice being on this podcast,
and we will be burning this. We're just not gonna light it inside because there's a smoke detector directly above us in this room, and
in the recording studio.
And although that would be fun, I don't think the computer would enjoy being wet.
So we are going to burn this outside momentarily.
And we will see you for our next podcast in another couple weeks. And we, you know, hope you enjoyed our interesting relationships that we have with one another. And sure, we will see you then.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Blessed be, y'all.
Blessed be.
Join us on the first and third Mondays of the month for magical tools, tips, and stories about living as a witch in today's world.
Find us at thatwitchlife.com for archived episodes, or to ask your burning questions for us to answer in a future podcast.